Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
The cheese tastes so good. Welcome in the beginning of a new week of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we splash around coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the flight deck as we soar on the red eye all night long, the Fox Sports Radio studios in the North Woods. And so our lead this hour coming from Sunday Night Football in Northern California, a game that ended not that long ago. Aaron Rodgers, the Packers, trying to get above 500. They had lost the opener in a blowout, came back, beat the Lions in the Monday night game. So the Packers taking their traveling circus to Santa Clara to take on the Niners, a date with Jimmy Garoppolo and the team that claims to be in San Francisco but plays in Santa Clara. Anyway, if you didn't watch the game, maybe you had some other engagement you could not watch. But Aaron Rodgers getting his tookus kissed from sea to shining sea. He had a couple of deep passes to Davante Adams on a last-second drive. Got the ball back with a little over half a minute to go, and that set up a Mason Crosby 51-yard field goal on the final play of regulation, and the Green Bay Packers get the win over the Niners 30-28. Rodgers coming through after Jimmy Garoppolo had led the Niners down, and Garoppolo thought he was the hero. He had a 12-yard play, a touchdown pass with 37 seconds left, and was like, hey, there we go. And no, that's not how it works. So let us discuss, and there is a lot to dissect. The question, when you have a game that comes down to this, the back and forth at the very end, did Aaron Rodgers win it, or did the 49ers' incompetence lose it? And my finger is pointed at the Niners. I'm pointing it at the Niners, and we'll walk you through this. So I've got mathematics, tunnel, and whistling Dixie. And we will tie all of these things together, and we're going to make banana cream pie, which is the greatest pie of them all, in a monologue. Now, most games, this is a philosophy we have on this show, if you're new to the show, most games are lost, not won. More times than not, it's because of incompetence, not because of greatness. I believe this is no exception to the rule. Now, I realize that most people will have the opinion that, no, it's all Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers. But I look at the Niners' side of things, and I say, that phrase, that the fish rots from the head down, that applies to the Niners. It starts, if you're going to point fingers, the guy wearing the headset, Kyle Shanahan, needs to be called out. That's on his shoulders. What a big dummy Kyle Shanahan was in clock management at the end of the game. Aaron Rodgers made a couple of clutch throws. Fine. Hall of Fame quarterback. Regardless of that, if Shanahan does his job, right, the old philosophy, do your job. If the coach of San Francisco does his job, then Rodgers would not have been able to use the magic wand at that point. The mathematics would have made it impossible. Now, let me lay this out. There's a couple of scenarios here. You can pick and choose. Now, the 49ers, on their final drive, they had all of their timeouts, right? Following the first down, the Niners took a snap. They had about 12 seconds, I believe, left on the play clock, the 40-second play clock. So at that point, you would say, milk the cow and milk the clock. You have all your timeouts, three timeouts, and instead of taking that other 12 seconds off the clock, running it right down to the final moment before you snap the ball, they score the touchdown, which is great. You've got the lead, but you've left 37 seconds to Green Bay, where if you had run it down to the very end, you would have had then roughly 25 seconds if it had gone all the way to the end at that particular moment. You still would have had your timeout, so you still would have been able to call a number of plays if you hadn't gotten in. But wait, there's more. Let's say that's unrealistic. How about this scenario? You scored the touchdown, 37 seconds left. You then have a decision to make on special teams. Do you trust your coverage unit to stop the opposition, the Packers, from getting a big return? The 49ers decided they did not trust. Kyle Shanahan did not trust his special teams. He kicked the ball out of bounds, right? Out of the, you know, it was a touchback through the end zone there, touchback that kept the ball in play. So at that point, if they had kept the ball in play, is what I meant to say, then that would have run at least five, possibly more seconds off the clock, and the Packers started their own 35-yard line. So pick and choose. You could say both or one, but to do none is negligence by the 49ers coach, and so we point the finger at Kyle Shanahan. And part B of this, while Kyle Shanahan gets the biggest piece of the blame pie, biggest slice of the blame pie, the 49ers secondary, let's spend a couple of good minutes on those bozos, right? Armed and not dangerous. Now, we knew that the Niners were convinced that is the weak link on this team. When they went out and got Josh Norman right before the season, that told you all you needed to know about the 49ers. They can spin it any way they want. This is an underwhelming unit. Teetering on the brink in the final 37 seconds, completely AWOL. A shrug-inducing performance. Now, every man, woman, and child who watched that game sitting on their tuchus like I was, you knew what was coming. And the Niners knew what was coming, and it didn't matter. Aaron Rodgers was going to have tunnel vision. And sure enough, he had tunnel vision. Where's Devontae Adams? Where's Devontae Adams? Find Devontae Adams. On cue, exactly what happened. So Green Bay gets the ball back, and they ran three pass plays. They also had a spike, but three pass plays and a spike. All three passes were targeting number 17 in the Packer uniform, Devontae Adams. First and 10, and Rodgers hit Adams on a 25-yard play to the 50-yard line. He then came up, spiked the ball. So about 21 seconds to go. He then targets Adams again. Incomplete pass. So now it's third down and 16 seconds on the clock. And so Rodgers comes back. Now, what do you think Rodgers is going to do? If you're in the Niners secondary, what are you thinking at that point Aaron Rodgers is going to do? Sure enough, he drops back. Clock runs down. He throws a deep pass to the left side of the field to Devontae Adams for another chunk play. 17 more yards. That gets him in field goal range. And Rodgers then spikes the ball, sets up Mason Crosby for the game-winning 51-yard field goal. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Now, Adams is a great wide receiver. But you're telling me that 49ers defense, that there's no way they can force Rodgers to throw the ball somewhere else? That Adams is so much better than the Stooges in the Niners secondary, and they're so incompetent, and the coaching staff defensively so incompetent, they can't come up with a way to force someone else to make a play there at the end? Can anyone make a play on defense for the Niners? Could anyone? No, listen, I'm happy. I had Green Bay in the game, so I'm happy the outcome. But watching that, that was a game the Niners, it was right there for them. Right there for the Niners, and you're standing around there watching completely clueless as it's just tunnel vision to Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams. Again. 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 All right. Last word. So overall, the Green Bay Packers can, for now, put down the paper bag. No need to hyperventilate. They were heading towards hyperventilation highway. Now, that being said, you know, I keep it real here. And we do not think that this was impressive for the Packers. Let me explain what I mean by this. Now, there's a lot of people who are slurping all over the cheeseheads, but I have an unpopular opinion. Guess what? Aaron Rodgers, who dominated the first half of this game, did not meet that standard in the second half or the bulk of the second half. And the reason ultimately why the Packers needed that Houdini act at the end was because Aaron Rodgers did not play particularly well in the second half. And I'm not just whistling Dixie here. If you look at the numbers, Rodgers in the second half, I know some of the numbers are skewed a little bit by the spikes, but he was averaging, even with those big chunk plays to Davante Adams, he averaged like 5 yards per pass attempt. He was shaky. And 54% of all of his yards in the second half came on that those final two passes that led to the field goal. But we were told that Green Bay is a power in the NFC. They were in the NFC Championship game last year. This is a great team. This is one of the great teams in the NFL. The 49ers are an overrated lightweight. Blah wins over the Lions and Eagles. All right, couple of rinky-dink teams. The Packers should have won this game in a route or root, depending on how you learned how to say it when you were younger. But I look at Green Bay's defense, and I'm not particularly impressed. That does not bode well when you play a team like the Rams down the line in a hypothetical playoff game, or even Tampa Bay again in a postseason situation. The Niners, with a bunch of guys out, Jimmy Garoppolo playing, they put Lance in a few times. They converted 64% of their third down attempts. San Francisco had more first downs than Green Bay. Packers made a lot of mistakes. They were flagged for 7 penalties for 87 yards. They had a fumble. So not clicking on all cylinders. It is fair to say not clicking on all cylinders. All right, let's hear now from some of the key participants here. I mentioned Kyle Shanahan. Called him out. Put Kyle Shanahan on blast, and here he is trying to praise Aaron Rodgers and push the blame away from him.
You always worry with Aaron on the other side. That's why we didn't use any timeouts. We're hoping to take it down, but it was a hell of an effort by Juice to get in.
Yeah. Well, why did you not kick it and allow more time to go down? Here's more about Aaron Rodgers. Let's go to the other side. Let's go to Shanahan again. Here's Kyle Shanahan pointing out that he was happy with his quarterback, Jimmy G.
Jimmy played real well tonight. The fumble there, there was a screen. He got let through way too early. It was a play-action screen. Right when he turned it around, it looked like 97 was in his face, and he tried to get rid of it and threw it backwards.
Yeah. And then said, no, I didn't do what you said I did.
You blew it!
Yeah, that was not a great play. All right, Jimmy Garoppolo now, who points out that it's not easy to be on the straight and narrow.
We were, kind of in a good rhythm. That's where you toe the line of, you got the defense on their heels. It's really hard to score down there in the red zone as it is. Do you want to let them catch their breath and that type of thing? But, when a guy catches it and makes a play like that, you're not going to be upset at him for scoring. It's just, I know what you're saying. You want to toe that line with it. It's tough.
Toe the line, or as Johnny Cash said, walk the line. All right, here's one more from Jimmy Garoppolo, who, even though it doesn't look like the Niners knew what they were doing with the clock, he's saying that they actually did.
You're always conscious of it in that situation. There's a lot of different things going on, but yeah, game clock, you're always trying to get it as low as you can. It's just tough when you got a guy like Aaron on the other side. You leave him any amount of time. You never know what could happen. Dude did it in 36, 37 seconds. You got to tip your hat to him sometimes.
Yeah. Or would he have been able to do it in 25 seconds if you had run the play clock down? Ifs and buts.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Super Bowl champions of football, the reigning champions, ramshackled on a Sunday. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we go miles and miles, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from behind the wheel, driving in the fast lane, the Fox Sports Radio studios in the North Woods. And so we are back at it again here. And don't bury the lead, my man. All right, we're not going to bury the lead. We will not bury the lead. It is football, 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 and the game of the day in the NFL, NFC Superpowers. Was it a preview of an NFC title game to be played at a later date? The Buccaneers and the LA Rams in America's Game of the Week. Joe Buck was there. Troy Aikman was in the house. My comedy hero, Larry David, was there. Who else did we have? Mike Tyson? Iron Mike, all these people hanging out in luxury boxes. Ben Affleck, he was there, the BFF with Brady. LeBron James, Draymond Green, Dr. Dre, and a bunch of other celebrities. I don't know who they are. Heck, I was even there. I was in attendance. So if you didn't watch the game, well, you didn't actually miss much. This was a lopsided game. Matthew Stafford coming out throwing lasers. He had 343 yards and four touchdowns. As he outduels Tom Brady, and the Rams never trailed. They get a 34-24 win, easy peasy, over the Buccaneers. The loss snapping the reigning Super Bowl champion Buccaneers 10-game regular season and playoffs winning streak. It is all over. Finito. Done for the Buccaneers. So let us discuss the question, does this game say more about the Rams' dominance or the Bucs stumbling and bumbling? And the answer is actually, surprisingly, L.A. This is on the L.A. side of the equation. Now, my observations. You've got mojo, middle ages, and double trouble. And we will lock all of these things together. Make the Baba Ganoush! We're going to make the Baba Ganoush. Now, number one. So Matthew Stafford had a reputation that had preceded him from Detroit as being a fraud against elite competition. You might have seen a statistic that has bounced around the interweb that pointed out that Stafford, since the year 2000, has the worst record of any quarterback against teams that have a winning record. Of course, that has more to do with the Lions than it does Stafford. That was my hypothesis, and at least so far, so good. Matthew Stafford, who was very good at producing stats in garbage time with the Lions, and some of my buddies. Now, just to give you an idea here of what I was dealing with. Some of my buddies from Michigan were texting me. I was at the game. I don't know how many times I have to say that, but I was at the game fine. So people knew I was at the game. And so I was getting some text messages at the very beginning of the game because Matthew Stafford came out, and it seemed like he needed his diaper changed. It was like, hey, I warned you, told you, he's playing a better team. That's the real Matthew Stafford. It was that kind of vibe. This is after Stafford. I think he was 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 6 to start the game passing. Throws were sailing high, low, bouncing off receivers' hands, completely off the mark. And then Matthew Stafford, I don't know what happened. He had an epiphany. He had a eureka moment. The training wheels came off. He let it rip. And he was footloose and fancy free. Put on a passing clinic. It's like he was back in high school or back in college. A virtuoso performance by Matthew Stafford. And this game, while it's still early in the year and there's a lot of football to be played, I am already calling this what it is. That Ram win over the Buccaneers for Matthew Stafford, that was his mojo moment, his first mojo moment. That's a celebratory situation, outperforming the GOAT. Now, we always go to the bad play chart. We do the arithmetic when we try to figure out these things. Right? When you look at a quarterback battle, what you do is you say, who had the fewer bad plays? Typically, not always, but typically the quarterback that makes the fewer bad plays, their team wins the game. And so if you do the back of the napkin math, you add up the interceptions, incompletions, sacks, and fumbles. Those are all negative plays. Matthew Stafford finished the game with 12 negative plays, many of them coming very early, as we mentioned, a lot of misfires early in the game. Tom Brady had 18, so that's a +6 advantage for Matthew Stafford as far as fewer than Tom Brady. Brady had the 6 more. And Brady wasn't horrible, but the Bucs, they never led the game. They were never in control of the game. You can't be in control of the game if you don't have the lead. And having watched Brady play up close, I've seen him play on television a bunch, it's just something missing there. Something was not connecting with Tom Brady, whether it was a rhythm or whatever. He just wasn't what I expected. Now, secondly, this was more of a statement situation by the LA Rams. Not only Matthew Stafford, but also the stars of the game, the Ram defense. Now, Aaron Donald gets all the love. Every broadcaster, Joe Buck, Aikman, all these guys, slobber, 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 all over Aaron Donald. He's the headliner. He's a Hall of Famer, blah, 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 blah. But he had a lot of help from his friends. The Ram defense, they were not playing patty cake out there. It was Middle Ages. The battering ram, which goes back to the Middle Ages there, that was a battering ram performance. It goes all the way back to ancient times there to break open those masonry walls and all that. And they had a gaggle of bone-crushing hits in this game, including Rob Gronkowski. And I'm sitting in a booth covered in glass, and I could hear the shot to the ribs that Gronkowski took in the third quarter. It ricocheted all over SoFi Stadium. And Gronk, they said the x-rays were negative. Even if they weren't negative, is there any way Gronk doesn't play against the Patriots on the next Sunday night game? Come on. But the Rams were swarming on defense, which is anybody that's ever played defense, whether it's Pop Warner or high school or wherever, or just played Madden, that's good defense. Swarm to the ball. The Rams are doing that. And if you're a box score reader, then you would say, well, wait a minute. The Rams defense wasn't that good. Tampa Bay had 446 yards and 27 first downs. You would be wrong. You would be wrong. Tampa enhanced those numbers when the game was lopsided. Rams were leading 31-14 late third quarter. A lot of sanitation time in this game. Now, the final point, while the Rams, Matthew Stafford, starring in this game, and the Rams defense getting the job done, the story on the Bucs side, the better story in the losing locker room here, Bruce Arians and the Bucs, more glitches. And they got away with it last year, and they won the Super Bowl, but this is another sloppy performance by this Bucs team. And it might not matter in the end, but you're making it harder on yourself. A lot of mistakes all over the place. Tampa coming into this game was 31st in penalties per game. And they tacked on another 7 penalties. That was only for 41 yards, but the bad timing on this. And you look at the Bucs, and I had this epiphany when I was watching this. I said, you got double trouble here. Because you talk about that defensive backfield, ulcer-inducing the Buccaneer defensive backfield. The secondary played like they were blindfolded out there. DeSean Jackson gets out in front. Several Ram players were wide open, no one within yards of them. The scouting report, especially on DeSean Jackson, I'm pretty confident they said, hey, this guy, keep him in front of you and all that. And I mean, he got behind everybody. The safety, no one was ahead of Jackson for the Buccaneers defense, and he made a mad dash. He ran like a gazelle past the Keystone Cop defenders there for Tampa Bay. And then the other thing is you had this anemic running attack for the Buccaneers. And this is, again, an issue. It's like, well, it doesn't matter. You don't have to run the football. And that's true to a point. But the Buccaneers, who have guys that are one, Leonard Fournette, who was a top draft pick. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady had 14 yards rushing, and he was the leading rusher. Ronald Jones had 11. Leonard Fournette had 8. Now, listen, some credit to the Rams defense. And the Rams do have a better defense than most. We'll see how good they end up at the end of the year. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers ran the ball 13 times, and they had 35 yards. 13 times for 35 yards. They averaged 2.7 yards per carry. Now, the Rams, they didn't have much of a running game, but compared side by side, Sony Michel was a cheat code compared to the Buccaneer running game. And he had a couple of decent runs there in the second half, and the Rams shut her down on offense and just decided to go with the running game. They stopped. They called off the dogs with the passing game, and they could have scored even more than that. They could have ended up easily in the mid-40s, could have scored another 10 points, but they called off when they went up by 17. They wound it down a wee bit. All right, let's hear from some of the key participants in this one. Sean McVay, fired up. Now, did you see when DeSean, if you're watching this game, DeSean Jackson scores the touchdown. He runs into that little tunnel, and Sean McVay was like the first guy sprinting over there to hug and embrace and canoodle his receiver. But McVay was loving it. He loved the arena, the stadium, the crowd, the whole thing.
The fans were awesome today, too. I mean, what an electric atmosphere. The two times that we've been here against the Bears and now today, it was rocking, and it was awesome to be able to see our guys put on a good show for the fans.
Yeah, that's kind of a generic soundbite. I was expecting more. It was rocking. You could say that about any stadium, though. Is there other than like maybe Jacksonville, is there a stadium that doesn't really rock? Come on. The public address. I was getting complaints from some of the people from Tampa that the public address system at SoFi Stadium was slightly too loud. But I'm just old people complaining. Here's Sean McVay, who is about to butter the biscuits of Matthew Stafford. His quarterback, as Warner Wolf would say, let's go to the audio tape.
Matthew Stafford's leadership was outstanding today. He made some really incredible plays, especially third down. I thought he was outstanding on third down.
Outstanding. So good. Yeah, the Rams were good. They were 67% efficiency on third down. And so that's it. The Rams are 3-0, and there'll be a matchup for first place. They got little alligator arms Murray and the Cardinals, who were trailing late third quarter against Jacksonville. Woo, man, got lucky. Jacksonville realized they might win a game, and they started, whoa, Trevor Lawrence, pick six, and gave that game back to Arizona after having a pretty good lead for about 70% of the game, 65-70% of the game. Jacksonville was in the lead in that game.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree.
Yep.
This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
And here we go, the Coop Daloop.
Ben, over the weekend, Clippers team president Lawrence Frank admitted that the team doesn't have a timetable for Kawhi's return from ACL surgery. He also refused to answer if they expect him to play at all next season.
Yeah.
Ben, should the Clippers just be prepared to tank for the lottery?
No! That's a terrible question. That's a leading question. First of all, the Clippers don't tank. It's not in their DNA, all right? They have avoided the lottery for years. The other team in L.A. that loves dumplings, they've been in the lottery a lot more often recently than the Clippers. The reason Lawrence Frank didn't answer that question is simple. Because Kawhi Leonard is meticulous with his rehab, and he hates when people put an artificial timeline out there and not him. And secondly, your question, your very premise is illogical. Why would the Clippers try to tank for a lottery pick when they don't even have a first-round pick? Oklahoma City has their pick as compensation for the Paul George trade. So that is a bad job by you. That is a demerit for you. All right, next.
Nothing.
Giannis Antetokounmpo said in an interview on Friday that he's not the best player in the NBA. LeBron James is. He didn't even put himself in the top tier listing. He listed KD, LeBron, Kawhi, Luka, Steph, and AD all above him. Ben, which of the players that he listed would you actually rank above the Greek Freak?
Well, listen, Greek Freak is a humble guy from humble origins, but let's keep it real. Based on the NBA playoff run, only Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard are ahead of Giannis because Kawhi would have beaten Giannis in a head-to-head matchup had he not gotten hurt. The other guys are too old. They're merely empty stat stuffing guys. And I love what Giannis said. You left this out, but he said he didn't want to be buddy-buddy with other stars around the NBA because he implied he's not a product of the AAU system, so he's not interested in fraternizing with players. He said Luka Doncic is the same way. It's great because that same weekend the quote came out, you had LeBron hanging out with Draymond Green there side by side. And it was funny because Phil Jackson, when he was he was a front office guy for the Knicks, he only wanted European players because they weren't from the AAU system. And people ripped him for that. And Giannis, like, backed him up on it. All right, next.
Arch Manning finalized his fall recruiting tour over the weekend. He's already visited Georgia, plans to stop at Alabama, Texas, Ole Miss, and Clemson. Ben, if you had to put money on where Arch Manning will end up, where would you put your money?
All right, so if I'm advising Arch Manning, he already knows the basics. He's learned the fundamentals from his uncles and his daddy. This is the family business. So he doesn't need to learn technique, per se. He needs to continue to, you know, refine it. But there's endless possibilities. I would pick Alabama to play for the gold standard, Nick Saban, biggest name around. Now, if not the Crimson Tide, the other avenue here is to go to Texas, the Longhorns. He would not be following the lineage of the Manning family to, you know, to Ole Miss. You go to Texas, because, you know, turn them into the superpower that they think they are every year, but they're not. Don't mention Arch Manning's name too much because Angry Bill will get excited. All right, there it is. Maller to the third degree, Koopaloop. How did we do?
Ben, you fail. You fail so fail. Bad.
You
twice
fail.
Over.
Your question sucks. Oh, you asked a question when the Clippers don't even have a lottery pick. What kind of question is that? That's a terrible question. Horrible. Horrific.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Hey, you sports figure guy or girl.
Who the hell are you talking to, son?
Here's some instant advice.
Hold that thought. No one's paid attention to me for 10 whole seconds.
And if you don't like it, screw you.
And away we go. It's the instant advice line. Unscreen radio. The safety net is off. If you ever get a radio show, these are great jobs. But please, do not attempt this on your own without proper training. It is spicy hot. I assume you know that already. You might be burned at the stake if you try this and don't get it right. It is Mallard, it is the instant advice. I was going to say something else. Mallard, the third degree. Justin Fields. That's it. Let's cut right to the chase. We don't have a lot of time here. Fields
needs,
he needs your help. He was not only a quarterback, he was horrible. And that's not even doing the word horrible justice. The
fest.
Chicago Bear rookie in his first start went out and was 6 of 20 passing.
No, God, please, no! No!
For 68 yards, sacked 9 times, passer rating of 41.2!
Wow.
.2. Now, to give you an idea how horrific the Bears overall were, total net yards, the Bears had 47, but passing yards, they had 1. Because of all the sacks.
Wow.
So advice to Justin Fields on how not to poop the bed next time he gets an opportunity for the Chicago Bears. You're live on the air when you hear my voice. Let's start out with you on line one. Hello, line one. Your advice, please, to Justin Fields.
Listen to the Dixter.
Woo! All right, thank you for that. Always good advice. Line two. Dixter will be calling up next hour. Excited about his Browns. Hello, line two. You're on the air, line two. Go.
You must not be able to see that 300-pound man on the right side hitting you. But
all right, thank you for that. Line three is next. That was Supermarket Steve. Hello, line three.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Line four is next. Hello, line four.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
All right, no, that was a different guy. No, wait a minute. That was not the same guy, was it? That was a different guy. All right, let's see here. Who is next? Line five, you're on the air. Hello.
I am every word I said.
All right, line six. Let's go to the random line. Random line, you're on the air, random line. Hello, random line. All right, random line's not. What happened to the random line? Random line's always there. Random line's not there. Let's go to line one again. Line one, you are next. We're giving advice to Bears rookie quarterback Justin Fields. He needs your help. He was horrible. Hello, line number one.
Run, Justin, run!
Run, yes, run for the hills. Run for cover. All right, line two. No happy birthday, Roberto. Hello, line two.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Oh, happy birthday, happy Chris!
Birthday. It was my birthday on Tuesday, so
random line,
it.
Hurry up, random line, go!
Hi, Ben.
Oh, all right, there you go. Thank you, random line. That was our friend from the Twin Cities. All right, last one, Koopaloop, go ahead.
Line four. Five.
Line five. Final call. Instant advice line for Justin. Go ahead. Hurry up. No, you weren't fast enough. You were not fast enough.